Andrew's going to bring us the word now from John. I'll hand you over to Andrew.
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, we're going to read from the Gospel of John. So if you have a Bible with you or a device with the Bible on it, we're going to turn together to John chapter 10 this week. The word should come up on the screen for us in just a moment. But let's turn to John chapter 10. I'm afraid I'm going to jump around a little bit in this passage today, so bear with me. We're going to read John chapter 10, verses 1 to 3, 7 to 10, 14 to 15, and then 24 to 29. I'll reference those verses again. So Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Verses 7 to 10. Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Verses 14 to 15. "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep." Verses 24 to 29. The Jews who were there gathered round him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand." And we give thanks to God for the reading of his precious word this morning. Lord, would you speak to us through this word? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, before this pandemic confined us to our homes and to social distancing, we were considering the front lines of our everyday here at Canterbury Baptist Church. And more recently during Lent, we were considering the front lines of Jesus in the Gospel of John, and we continue to do so. Let's remind ourselves again. Front lines are those places where our faith meets the world. Places where we spend most of our time with those who do not share with us the Christian faith. Since this pandemic took hold, it's probably fair to say that our front lines have changed. We now interact with people differently and by alternative means. We find our primary physical front line to be at home, perhaps, volunteering or coming out of retirement to help those in need. The state of our front lines may have changed too, especially for nurses, doctors, and health professionals, not forgetting those who work in our supermarkets and in our schools. The teaching of Jesus in this passage is really helpful as we live in these current front lines. Why? Well, because he reveals what, or rather whom, should matter most to us in these challenging times. Jesus tells the Pharisees they are a powerful Jewish pressure group, and his Jewish opponents that he is the gate. the one through whom we can find forgiveness from sin and life that is eternal or everlasting. The only gate through whom we can find pasture in the family of God and have life to the full. At the same time, Jesus rebukes his listeners, those who sought to climb in the sheepfold of God's family by another route, those who sought salvation by another means, deceived by thieves and robbers, perhaps other leaders who emerged at the time. And quite frankly, they could not stand up against the one who was promised by God, the promised Saviour, the promised Messiah, the promised Jesus, who laid down, as we read in verse 15, laid down his life for the sheep. In fact, Jesus said in verse 10, "The one who deceives only comes to steal, kill, and destroy, whereas he, Jesus, has come to bring life, and life in all its fullness." His listeners were waiting for this promised Messiah, the anointed one, who would serve as rescuer and king. And I wonder, in these days, how much do we need a saviour? How much do we need a saviour to overcome our sickness? How much do we need a saviour to be present in our isolation and loneliness? How much do we need a saviour to comfort us in our fear and our anxiety? How much do we need a saviour to offer the promise of safe pasture, both now, today, and for all eternity, beyond the grave? I think we can all agree that our need is greater than we have known for a long, long time. Another local pastor told me about his encounter with a 90-year-old lady in a supermarket last week. She said to him, "This situation is worse than it was in the war." That's saying something, isn't it? Our need for the Saviour is great. So when there is every temptation to find another route into the sheepfold of God's eternal family, when there is every temptation to be distracted or deceived by the many things that can occupy our time and our mind, even worry, especially now with so much that's on offer virtually through the internet, we must come to the gate. We must come to Jesus, who died for us, and not only receive the promise of full life, of life to the full, which is eternal, but enjoy intimacy with the one who put the stars into space. Jesus said in verse 27, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." So my prayer is that you will know the Good Shepherd Jesus, that you will know his voice, that you will hear his voice, even in these unusual times, and that you will follow him. Psalm 23 says the following: "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Amen. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
Thank you so much for that, Andrew. So much to reflect on, so much of God's good word in there. I was particularly taken by the analogy of the good shepherd and what that means for us. I mean, what does it mean to you to have a good shepherd kind of guiding you through this time?
I think it's as I said, I think we obviously are in this strange normality, if we can call it that, of being in isolation or certainly being distanced from one another. And perhaps we could believe that God is also far distant. But the truth is that with faith in Jesus, we believe that God is with us. We believe that he is near, and we can enjoy in Jesus Christ, we can enjoy a relationship, an intimacy, as I put it, with the one who created all things, the one who ultimately holds us in his hands, the one who has control even in the what appears to be the chaos of the situation, and we can surely find hope and strength and security in that.
I was really taken, actually, during when you're reading Psalm 23, and he leads me by still calm waters. And as you said that, there's just torrential rain on our big windows at the front. And
at least it's not snowing.
It's not snowing anymore. But just even in this, even in the storm, we have a God which leads us by the calm waters and restores your soul. And I think a lot of us maybe need our souls restoring through this in this time of chaos and difference. So it's a really important word, I think, for now. So thank you for that.
You're welcome. I hope it was helpful.
It was. It's good. Shall we pray? And then we'll sing some more.
Thanks.
Oh, Father, thank you so much for your son. Thank you for the gift that is for us. Thank you that in the storm, in the chaos, in a pandemic, we have a good shepherd who wants to guide us. And Lord, help us to not be spiritually dry. Help us to not feel distant from you at a time when we can have a growing intimacy with you. And Lord, maybe some of us don't know you just yet or don't know you so well, Lord. I just want to pray that you make your presence known to anyone in that situation so that they can have your calming and healing presence amongst them too, so that you can guide them through this storm. Thank you for all you provide for us and for your word this morning. In your name, amen.
I'm conscious, Lord, there may be some who are listening who have never stepped across the line. They've never given their lives to Jesus. And perhaps as we've heard today about our need for the gate and our temptation to try and find another means into the sheepfold of God's family, I just want to invite anyone who is at home listening to this and not a follower of Jesus to consider following Jesus, becoming one of his sheep, and no longer find another route into the sheepfold, but rather choose to put their hope and their trust in Jesus. So I want to invite you in prayer just to share this prayer with me. Lord Jesus Christ, I ask that you come into my life and save me. I want to know you. I want to learn to trust you. I know I can't save myself. So please help me. Forgive me for my sin. I turn to you now and enter into the sheepfold through Jesus Christ, my Saviour and King. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, in these times where there is so much opportunity to be distracted, Lord, help us to keep our eyes fixed upon you. Help us to come to the one and true gate, to place our hope in Jesus Christ, and to find intimacy with God the Father through him. Lord, in this time of isolation, in this time of loneliness, in this time where there is so much worry and anxiety, may this be a time when we know spiritual strength and health, that we would know spiritual life as we turn to Jesus. We thank you for the privilege of a relationship with God, thanks to the gift, to the death, and to the resurrection of Jesus. May we make the most of this relationship made possible by Jesus' blood, and turn to you each and every day of this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.